Okay. And this morning, as I looked up, I was going about my regular thing, thinking I've got plenty of time. And of course, I looked at the clock. I went, no, I don't have plenty of time. So it's all good. It's all good. And this is probably the shortest reading that we do. I still get to talk the same amount of time, so good luck with that. But, you know, being here is a wonderful thing. I'll start off by saying I'm an addict of various sorts because I'm sitting here. You know I've done the work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of my Big Book step study sponsor and the God of my understanding that continues to evolve, and I'm doing my best to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. So, 6 and 7, little teeny tiny steps with a lot of importance for our continued recovery. I was looking at these steps, and in general, the first thing I thought about was, oh my goodness, these are the bookends right in the middle. You know, they're right in the middle. There's 6 and there's 7. And then I started thinking about this whole process, because one of the things it says to begin with is humility is the underpinning principle of all of the 12 steps. Which is true. If you think about step 1, admitted I was powerless. I've got to be humble to say that. Admitted my life was unmanageable. I've got to be humble to say that. Again, 2, somebody else can restore me to sanity. 3, turn my life and my will over. And oh Lord, to do 4 and 5, I got to be humble to sit there and write those things down. So I think of, and all of them have to do with that underlying principle. And I think one of my first sponsors way back in the days helped me understand at that beginning point that humility was really about getting right-sized. I'm not too big, I'm not too small, I'm who I am. But at any rate, so I kind of think of the 6 and 7 as a bridge. They're right in the middle. We've already done those first 3 kind of acceptances, 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I can't do it. God can't. I think I'll let God help me out with this. Okay, I'll take inventory. Oh, I'll die taking inventory. No, I won't die taking inventory because there's 5. And then all of a sudden, you know, meanwhile, in this program, we're reading 10, 11, and 12 every day. And we have to launch into getting ready to do 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I think 6 and 7 are that. These are the steps where we really focus on little on reading, but a lot on reassessing, a lot on looking at where am I now? Do I fully accept myself as I am? Because that is what humility is about. It's about acceptance. And am I ready to let these things go? And then to look at how we let them go. So I see 6 and 7 as that bridge between the internal assessment, work, letting go of some things internally with a sponsor, to getting ready to launch into, okay, now I'm going to go out to all the other people in my life. And the things that we need to do that are, humility, and we also need that sense of being willing to do it, and we also need that ability, the willingness. So willingness and humility, those 2 things are the principles we need to move forward. By this point, you know, going through 5, having at least gone through step 5 and looking at this first paragraph. We talked about this some last week, but again, it's this sense of now we're in this phase where we're doing self-monitoring and we're looking at, okay, did I really do it all? Did I think of anything? Do I think of anything else that I didn't do at that time? Or is there anything else I should have put on that inventory? And I don't know about you, but by the time I got to the end of my 5th step, I was pretty brain dead and I didn't think of things. But they've come up to me as time's gone on, and that's okay. I've come to understand it doesn't have to be perfectly done at this point, but it has to be started, and that's what this is about. So if I were to look at the beginning of step 6, first of all, thank goodness for the index of our book, that principle of willingness for step 6. It's only used 42 times in the first 164 pages. That's a lot. You know, that concept of willingness is this underpinning of action that we need to do. And being able to see this, you know, the question becomes, you know, for me as an addict, the things that I thought back to of what I thought about in issues, well, can God really remove all my defects? because I haven't been able to do it. Of course, you know, I've been trying to run my life on self-will, and that didn't work so well. But when I asked that question at the beginning, I had to say, well, he'd stop my obsessions to drink, to smoke, to do other things. And I had been maintained safe despite doing that. So then I said, okay, so God can do it. But what is my role in this? What am I supposed to do? And this is that tenuous place where it's not so much tenuous as there's a balancing act in here of I have to be willing for God to remove them, but I also have to be willing to do the work that is required of me in order for them to be removed. And so I think of these things as being willing to have them removed, asking for them to be removed, which is really the next, you know, step seven, and then being able to turn my back on the old ways of being and say, this is where I'm going to start doing something differently. I'm going to act differently in order to live differently in my life. And then going on from there. And I see the concept of the third and the step, seven-step prayer, looking at the two of them together, the third-step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. So at that point, it's pretty basic. You know, I don't like the way I feel. I know I'm not doing things the way I'm. Take away my difficulties. But then in seven, by that time, we've done that inventory, and we know what's on our list. We know what those difficulties are for us. And then we're also recognizing that not only do we want them removed, but we recognize they're standing in the way of our becoming the person we want to be and living in relationship to our higher power in the way we want to. So step seven has that additional power of, I now know what these issues have meant for me and for the people around me. And not only do I want to feel better, I want to be better. So it's that extra step going forward there. So being entirely willing, I think of these, were entirely willing. So there's nothing we have to do about that except look at that. And quite frankly, can any of us be entirely ready forever? No, it's not going to happen that way. But what we can be as willing as we can be at that point. Because what I find is, and I think all of us have found this, I know I have found that I'm willing to do different things as my knowledge and growth in this program continues. And I become ready by doing that last bit of willingness and changing it over. And then I can move to the next one. So that I have to be willing for that to happen. But it's not all going to happen. Not all going to happen at the same time. It's not going to happen immediately. Guess what? We're not in control anymore, are we? Because the Deb I knew before was, I'll stop doing that. No problem. This is how I'm going to do it. I'd line it up. I'd figure it out. I'm not in control of that. I need help. And so step two comes back into that again. A power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. A power greater than myself can help me by removing these defects of character if I'm willing and if I do the work. And it's a process for the rest of my life. You know, and I'm finding that even as I go on now, I had an experience this last week where I spent the day with my mom, which many of you know is one of the people in my life that I continue to have new revelations with. And, you know, what's interesting is that as I've continued to do more work, as I said to my friend afterwards, I said, well, it was a 98.9% angst-free day. Well, that's saying something, but that's because of this work, and it's because of that willingness to keep looking at what was my part in that. How could I be better at this point? And I'm different now than I was even 6 months ago. So it's a process, and we can't be impatient. Of course, as addicts, we're all impatient. We want what we want, and we want it now. And this is the point where we let that go. So that if we look at when I look at some of the 12 and 12s for OA or AA, I look at one of the things was, what were these defects doing for me? Because before we've listed them all, but what were they doing for me? And then what do they do to me? That becomes the next part of this, of being ready and willing to have them removed. Because once I understand the impact of what it has done to me, because again, in my experience, my defects were all about commenting on the other people around me. It was about everybody else until I got honest with myself and looked at this in a way that I could really look at it. And so what we move through as we go through step six is that becoming willing, being entirely ready. Not possible to be entirely ready all the time. However, I don't get to pick when, I don't get to pick which, and I have to be okay with that. And I am. I now am okay with that. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? You know, because I can also know that some of those defects, and one of the examples I was reading in one of the things is, you know, my stubbornness, if I'm stubborn, can be a defect in that it will get in the way of my relationships, but it could also be what gets me through recovery by saying, I'm not going to do that old behavior again. So how these defects are used and using them in different ways might be part of what we're doing as we move forward. The other part of this is to recognize, and I think this is where it comes into the, where it's shifting into seven, talks about our natural tendencies. If you look at the 12 and 12, it talks about the natural tendencies. We're human. We are going to do things that are not necessarily the way that we would like to be. But if I'm willing to ask for help and removing these things with guidance, I get better at doing it daily. So again, this is a spiritual practice. It doesn't mean it's going to be removed. It means I get to practice every day. It's like a kid with the piano lessons. I get to practice this lesson. And some days I do better than others. Some of the ways that I might want to be willing or entirely ready to be willing, one of the things is I can't stop at the biggies. And one of the stories in the big book, I think it's in the chapter to the families, where it talks about, you know, the man comes out of the cellar, and the wind stopped blowing. Well, Mom, you know, the wind stopped blowing, but the house is gone. I've stopped drinking, or I've stopped eating, or I've stopped doing ever, and, you know, give me credit for that. But that's not what this is about. Maybe our big defect was that we used substances that were dangerous to us and to others around us. But the little things or the smaller things around it are what we're working at now. And so I now need, it's not enough to stop drinking, stop eating compulsively, stop being selfish just because I want it. So I have to also ask the question of, am I doing just enough to get by, or am I trying to grow? And there's a big difference there, too. You know, I know that lots of people, I always had to work hard in school. Anything I got in school, it didn't come easily for me, and I had to work hard for it. I know other friends of mine who say, it was easy. I didn't have to work. I had a brother who, you know, didn't have to work. And it was a real interesting thing. But for me, to do this process of being willing, I have to do the work of being willing to give it up, being willing to let it go every day. And to practice that part of it. And I have to strive. You know, there's an old discussion in this big, well, who am I going to be when all these defects, you know, an early in sobriety kind of story is, who will I be if these defects are removed? Well, you know, guess what? Probably a better person. You know, back then, it was the fear of, I don't know how to be that better person yet. But the good news there is we grow into it. Time gives us a chance to grow into it. Finally, about the willingness and getting ready to ask them to be removed is, just like taking the fifth step, I'm always struck by the fact that in the big book, one of the repeated messages is, do not delay. Do not delay. If you don't do these steps, you probably are going to go back and use again. Delay is dangerous, and rebellion may be fatal, one of the quotes in the 12 and 12 that I read about, which is something to keep in mind. We are on, you know, as we talked about with the fifth step, we're on a life-saving mission here. We don't do it, we may not get there. Where are we with time? Almost done, aren't we? Okay. So if we look at seven now very briefly, again, this concept of humility, one of my eye-opening thoughts this weekend was to realize that being humble was being willing to accept myself exactly where I am now. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not worse than anybody else. I've got my own issues. But I have to accept myself, and that's a hard thing for me to do. I don't like accepting myself exactly where I am sometimes because I'm impatient and because I want this all to be fixed. But humility is that foundational activity If we look at the way we used to think about it, it was most of us probably in using would use other things or successes or money or clothes or whatever it was to make us feel better about ourselves in some ways. And here it's saying that's not what this is about. It's truly an inside job. So when you look at the two paragraphs on page 76, really what you're talking about is, you know, basically, okay, here are the qualifications. If you've done this, if you've done your work, then you're ready to find out if you're willing enough. So it's basically checking again, am I willing enough? Am I really entirely ready to have these things removed? And then it's the two prayers. The prayer at the end of that first paragraph in 76, we ask God to help us be willing. And then the second prayer, the seventh step prayer, my creator, I'm now willing for you to have all of me. Boy, that was a hard thing for me to be able to say, good and bad. Because in my growing up, you had to be good when you went to God. You know, it was this conditional appearance. So here it is. Here I am, warts and all. I am here. I pray now that you remove from me every single defect of character. And here's the operational part, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And that's that bridging part. That's the point where we are getting ready to go out and be of service to others. I think that, you know, we can choose humility, but we can't demand it. And again, that's a subtle difference. We get to realize that being humble is not about being humiliated. And again, that's a fundamental idea that comes early in recovery. But what we're doing now is we're getting ready to finding out how, if we are living with humility, it shows as a change of heart. So that everything that we talked about in our defects of character, if we allow those things, if we're really ready and ask God to remove our defects of character, then what we're willing to do is be changed on the inside. That's scary if you're an addict. You know, outside's fine. Hey, I'll lose 50 pounds, no problem. Let me have it. I want it now. Well, I'm not going to get it now. But I'm willing not to drink. I'm willing not to do these other things. But if I'm willing to let God remove my defects, then I'm willing to be changed on the inside. And that, I think, I like that sense of it's a change of heart. That got to me in a way that as I thought about it. So that if I choose humility, I'm choosing to do that internal work to grow in ways and to continue growing in ways that will allow me to do that. What I like also of one of the other things I was reading about was humility places us on equal footing with all of our fellow beings and in harmony with God. Again, I'm willing to follow God's will. I'm willing to do the work I need to do, but I'm also willing to have these things removed. You know, it was interesting to be with my mother the other day and not practice some of my defects of character. It was uncomfortable, but I started out the day, and I only had about a 2% recidivist rate that day myself. I had two moments where I went, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She's almost 89. I'm taking her to the beach. We're going to go to Dairy Queen. And it's going to be good. And it was. But I still, the old defect of, I want it my way. Well, you want me to sit down and look at this picture? It's like, chill, Deb. So my internal talk is a whole lot different now, but that's a change of heart. That's not about anything else except a change of heart. Nobody would know that had happened. It doesn't matter. But that's what this work does for us. So I think that, you know, if I look at this humility, it's realizing, it's being able to accept my whole self and being able to say, this is where I am now, but I'm willing for this to be different. I'm willing to be the best I can on any given day. I'm willing to have God remove the characters. I'm willing to do the work. And yet I also know exactly where I am. And not perfect, not wonderful, but it sure is better than it was 6 months ago, 2 years ago, and it is an ongoing process. So I am grateful for the bridge, you know, sort of thinking about this as moving from those first few steps where we're getting our feet in, looking at what we need to do, and now we get to start doing it. What a gift. What a gift. We get to cross the bridge. Since we have the mortar and the sand all in the right places, we get to move on to make our amends. We get to move on to live with a freedom that we never had before. And that's because we will continue being humble and also willing. Those two things are going to see us through the last few steps also. You can't make amends to people and mean it unless you're going to them with a degree of humility and a willingness to really clean up your side of the street. All of it. Those two things, in my mind, they are the underpinnings. So I'm going to stop now. I think it's telling me to be quiet anyway. Thank you.
Thanks.